In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We heard today in the Gospel of St. Luke what probably seems to us as a rather odd story, where Jesus goes into this country of the Gadarenes, and he meets this man who is demon-possessed, and he drives out these demons from this man who go in the herd of swine, who then rush and drown themselves in the water. A very strange story to our ears. But there is more going on than just meets the eye. And that's what I want to discuss today. And there are two key things that I think we need to understand to give this story some context. First of all, and this is something that those of you who have been around for a while know that I like to highlight, because it's so important for us to understand this, to get the context of Scripture, is that the Roman army occupies the territory of the Jews, Judea, Jerusalem, as well as the surrounding region. So this region of the Gadarenes is actually a Gentile region. It's not an area that would be traditionally Jewish. But regardless, it's still a long ways from Rome, and Rome, of course, is able to have a vast empire because of its military power, its military might. And as we'll talk about in a minute, that sword cuts two ways. Sometimes it's good for people, sometimes it's bad. But I'll talk about that more in a minute. The other thing for us to recognize, and the reason why the swine are in this story, is because swine, pigs, are one of the main animals that are seen as being representative of being unclean. It was something that the pigs, the swine, were something that the Jews stayed away from. They didn't eat, even to this day. If they say kosher, they don't eat pigs. So again, this is symbolic of the fact that Jesus, or representative of the fact that Jesus, is in Gentile land, because the Jews wouldn't eat swine, anything. And so if you remember, again, the context of Scripture is that the Jews are looking for a Messiah who would kick out the Roman army from their area. And that is why, ultimately, you hear in the story of Barabbas, that the Jews accept Barabbas instead of Jesus, because Barabbas was a rebel. It means that he stirred up trouble against the Roman Empire. He tried to start a rebellion with them. He was shut down, he was imprisoned, as was Jesus. And when it came to choice, who do you want, Barabbas or this man Jesus? The people picked Barabbas, because they want someone again who was going to fight the military power of the Roman Empire. What Jesus does is he does something quite different. Jesus fights the Roman military, but not by military power. Remember when he was arrested, Peter cut off the right ear of the soldier who was arresting him. And what did Jesus do? He said, put away the sword. He who lives by the sword dies by the sword. Jesus had a different way. And not only that, but Jesus did something else, didn't he? This ear was cut off. Jesus healed it. Why? So this man could hear the gospel that Jesus was preaching. And so ultimately, Jesus conquers the Roman military power, the Roman might, by his gospel message, which says, stop the fighting with them. Stop viewing them as your enemy, and invite them into the table of God, to the table of fellowship with us. That is ultimately what Jesus' message is about. And so we see today in this reading, in curing this man who was possessed with demons, that Jesus is casting out the legions. The legion was one of the main units of the Roman army. And when someone hears this story at the time of Luke's gospel, there's no doubt they would make the connection of there being a legion as the legion, the main unit of the Roman army, and Jesus casting out this demon, the legion, the Roman military army. And the pigs, the significance of the pigs is the fact that Jesus cleanses the Gentile territory so that they too can be part of the people of God. And that's why you hear about this legion rushing out into the pigs, and the pigs going and drowning. Jesus has cleansed that entire region. He has cleansed all of us, given the possibility for all of us to be cleansed and to be part of God's kingdom. And at the same time, when we hear, when I explain to you about Jesus kicking out the Roman legions, or rather coming to peace with them, purifying them, some of the people, they didn't like it. It says, in fact, Luke tells us that they were afraid, and they asked Jesus to leave. And we see by this, brothers and sisters, that Jesus never forces himself on anyone. We have the possibility to accept or reject his gospel. And we, therefore, as his followers, have no right to force ourselves onto others. We can compel other people, as Jesus says, compel them to come in. But we compel them through persuasion, hopefully by the way that we live our lives. But because we fall short, we always have to preach to them the gospel, recognizing that we are sinners and telling people that we fall short of this, but God still offers reconciliation and mercy and grace. But you know, one of the reasons why the people were scared and they were afraid as Jesus overcomes these Roman legions is because there is, as I said, two sides to the sword. On the one side, we don't like to be under the military boot, right? We don't want to be oppressed by some foreign military. But on the other hand, we like to be protected by military power. So we don't want them using it against us, but we kind of like that they might use it against others, or that they would protect us. And you see, that's why the people were afraid. Because if Jesus kicks out the Roman legions, where's your protection? Who's going to protect you? And you see, what this gets back to is what we're talking about in our Bible study on the book of Genesis, because it begins in the book of Genesis, this theme throughout Scripture, that our only real protection is not in the walls of the city in the ancient world, or today by us accumulating together in cities. It's not through our military power. Our only true protection eternally is in doing God's will, following God's law. And we trust, or at least we should, we call ourselves Christian, we trust that even if the powers of this world were to turn against us, and we're not protected here, that God will protect us for eternity. And that's the significance of Jesus' resurrection. Is that when all the powers of this world conspired against him, both his own people and the Roman authorities, when they conspired against him and put him to death, God reversed the judgment. And we have so many examples, nearly countless examples. On the one hand, unfortunately, on the other hand, thank God there are examples. But we have almost countless examples of others who have followed this path of Jesus. One of those we celebrate today, the great martyr Artemius, and so many other martyrs who recognized this teaching, who recognized their only protection was in following God's will, and recognizing that in the end, God would overturn the judgment of this world against them. So they put their only trust in God. And that's why St. Artemius stood up against the Roman emperor, the apostate Julian, who was torturing some of the Christian priests. And he stood up against the emperor. And believe me, you don't stand up against an emperor without consequences. And he told him to his face that what he was doing was wrong and evil. And for that reason, Artemius was martyred. And Artemius himself was a commander in the Roman military. So he is a prime example for us today as we hear this teaching of someone who said, you know what, I'm not going to be protected by my rank in the military. I'm not going to be protected by the Roman army. I'm going to stand up for what is right against the Roman emperor. May he be an example to us, brothers and sisters, a reminder to us that we must put our trust in God and in God alone. To him be all glory, honor, and worship to the ages of ages. Amen.
Praise the Lord, ye catechumens.